Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom. Once again, we're here at cloakanddagger.ca and cloakanddagger.de to continue to explore and scrape the bullshit off the truth, as Sherman Skolnick, my former co-host, always said, and helping us to scrape the bullshit off the truth. And he's certainly an expert in counter-propaganda science, an army intelligence military officer, speaks many languages. He's the commander of Ghost Troop. It's an honor, Captain May, to have you back here at Cloak and Dagger.
Well, Lieutenant Lenny, it's a delight to be here, and if I can say, I remember Sherman Skolnick, rest in peace, from having done some of the early interviews alongside him and you at the same time about the Battle of Baghdad cover-up, and I think he's smiling down on the work we did yesterday, because I think between Ghost Troop and Cloak and Dagger, and I have to say, some InfoWar allies out there who helped us greatly, including the Dave Glover Show at 97.1 FM with Michael, their guest host. Right. I think between that little hodgepodge of assets that we quickly threw together, as we so often have done,
yeah,
we just averted a world war and saved 1,000 lives easy in the Orient Queen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting times, and the power of the media and speaking the truth and exposing things is certainly great when the X-ray's to your advantage and you can X-ray them.
Well, we saw it, Lenny, in advance going into the weekend. You and I were talking between ourselves, as we so often do,
yeah,
about how it was very likely that Israel had overstepped itself on this military reach, that their propaganda campaign waged through the U.S. Zionist media, which has as a goal to turn whatever Arab nightmare they cook up into the American dream so that people think it's a good thing. That propaganda's campaign was going to fail, and they needed to have some kind of false flag pretext to bring it from the current 8% of the U.S. population that's willing to go to war for Israel up to 80%, the way it was after 9/11. And by Monday, I think, Lenny, after we talked, you'd put a scroll up on the top of the cloak saying, giving an alert to the U.S., to the Orient Queen, the ship contracted to go pick up U.S. citizens and evacuate them out of Beirut. By Tuesday, meaning yesterday, you and I had done an interview published internationally in your archive. And by the way, the archive is a wonderful resource. Everyone listening should join the archive for pennies a day. The archive had that article where we did a specific alert to the Orient Queen. And I believe, Lenny, that resulted in the cloak being knocked down in, 6 hours?
Yeah, exactly. It didn't take them long. They just throw a switch.
Well, along the way, there was a godsend. I got called up by the Dave Glover Show, which goes coast to coast, FM. They have a once-a-week conspiracy hour. And I got that call, which, candidly, I'd forgotten all about. And 1600 or 4 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time yesterday, we started broadcasting. And towards the end of the show, Michael, the host, guest host for Dave Glover, asked me, what are your immediate future predictions, Captain May? And I told him that our best analysis between Ghost Troop and our InfoWar allies, Cloak and Dagger being one of those, was that a false flag a la the USS Liberty was imminent, extremely likely, and that the Orient Queen was in grave danger. Lenny, within 2 hours of that national broadcast,
uh-huh,
which of course merely followed up on the excellent Cloak and Dagger work we've been doing for 2 days earlier, within 2 hours of that national broadcast, suddenly there was a ship off the Florida coast, registered to Florida, Brother Jet State, coming out of New York, the 911 state, which suddenly did a radical shift in direction. So radical that it created, as it was described, a tsunami in the swimming pool. And when it got to port in Florida, people were being hauled off in stretchers from broken bones.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we call a radical shift in direction.
A number of mock exercises all around, different mock exercises. Some went live and some didn't.
Right. As we have seen, they always have some kind of a concordant or parallel event. We call it an analog code, something that gives them the opportunity to signal in the parallel event any alteration in the plan for the main event.
Right.
Main event was, now listen to the name, folks, Orient Queen, and the signal event was the crown princess. It's not far from a princess to a queen, and the reason they had that radical shift in direction with no good explanation given yet, and Lord knows, let's see what kind of hodgepodge of reasons they come up with, but the reason to us clearly was that they had suddenly called off that plan to start World War III by scuttling the Orient Queen. Now, Lenny, I can't tell you how cold-blooded this plot was. You know, there's been a national outcry in the U.S. about how long it's taken to get any kind of evacuation or relief to the U.S. citizens who were in Lebanon. There are 25,000 of them. I think about 5,000 have made application to leave. And now it becomes clear to us why it was they were waiting so long. They were waiting until that G8 summit, which was calling bad attention to Bush, was out of the way, so that they could do a two-day total PR offensive. Look, folks, what you call news, I call propaganda, and propaganda was my expertise when I was an active-duty officer. And that proves that I know what propaganda is, because I used to read it out of the Soviet camp in the Cold War in Russian. They went on a two-day propaganda attack, the U.S. media, to make sure that anything bled south, anything that got bloody south of the Lebanese border, meaning Israeli citizens, was put all over the page and all over the news, and anything that bled up north was just collateral damage. In fact, they started using the phrase collateral damage Monday. We were waiting for that, if you remember, Lenny.
Yeah.
So after 2 days of a major propaganda effort to say that this whole thing was really poor Israel being attacked, when Israel has a 15-to-1 KIA rate at this point. And but it was Israel being attacked, and don't you know, they started dragging Syria and Iran back into it, all across the news, all across the papers. Lenny, they gave it up. They ramped everything they could into getting the American people ready to hate Syria and Iran and start a shooting war. And that's why they delayed that doggone ship, so they could make sure that that ship didn't reach port and didn't get false flagged sunk until after they had done the maximum preparation of U.S. public opinion to instinctually, brutally, animalistically attack Muslims. It's cold-blooded stuff, Lenny.
Yep.
Now, you want another cold-blooded part of it?
Yep.
I saw excerpts from the ongoing live interviews this morning.
Yeah.
From the people boarding the ship. Well, now for the first time we find out what we always knew but never saw, which is these are Lebanese Americans. They have sympathies for the country that's getting turned into a World War II battleground with these mass carpet bombings. I don't care what the Israelis say. They're bragging about how they've knocked $2 billion out of Lebanese infrastructure. They're going after food production, water facilities, transportation, you know, ports. They're doing everything they conceivably can to make Beirut the new Guernica, and then putting icing on the cake with the U.S. media as if we don't realize that what the cake is a bunch of crap. So these Lebanese Americans were universally decrying what has been done to Lebanon. So now let's think about it. These Lebanese American citizens were going to be scuttled, and not only was that going to give us a casus belli, a la the USS Liberty or the Lusitania or the USS Maine, but it was going to get rid of 1,000 Arab-American propaganda problems. These people were there. There's going to be nothing on earth that has more authority back in the States than these thousands of returning American citizens of Lebanese descent who are going to say exactly what was happening there. And one of these people is much more influential than an hour of TV news. So, Lenny, it just couldn't have been more cold-blooded.
Absolutely. And, of course, this is the modus operandi going back to the Northwoods document. Admiral Lemitzer signed it, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying it's okay to kill Americans in towers in Miami and blame it on the Cubans to get a war with Cuba.
Sure, that was, what, 62?
I mean, this document's been public now, so everybody can read this document and see that they legalized the right. The U.S. government got legalized the right to attack its own citizens as in order to provoke war.
Exactly. We've reached, and Lenny, you're the one who so often brings it up and recalls me of it, the Orwellian scenario. Folks, if you ever get tired of just listening to me and Lenny, you want to see somebody smarter than us, read Orwell.
Read 1984 by George Orwell, Big Brother.
You know, Winston's girlfriend in that book, the love interest, is not a big, deep thinker, but she's the first one who tells him, I think these attacks that are being waged against London all the time have nothing to do with our enemies. I think they're done by the government to keep the war going.
And I'll give you an updated 1984. Bush speak is truth pollution.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, the propaganda war is going south, and the U.S. media, you know, it's so outrageous, Lenny. I see them doing the same kind of anti-coverage, non-coverage, and misleading with this Israeli incursion into Lebanon that they did to, you know, to polish up and make pretty the U.S. incursion into Iraq. You know, the American public wonders why it is that people like me, low-end officers, and in my case, you know, sitting after a full military career in Houston, Texas, doing a little bit of analysis for the Houston Chronicle, were able to publish pieces saying that this thing would turn into an utter quicksand war and we'd be swallowed up in it and maybe wind up in a world war. People wonder how it is that 3 years ago I had so much insight, and the answer is real simple. I don't trust TV, y'all. As often as not, whatever they say, I believe the opposite. That's a good place to start your wisdom. So the people in TV land, the media, which is heavily controlled by U.S. Jewish interests, let's be honest, they call it the Israel lobby, but we know what that means. The Israel lobby dominates U.S. media, and for three years they've been telling you, first, we had one in Iraq, second, we were winning in Iraq, and third, now, we're still going to win in Iraq. Does anyone notice that those arguments are all contradictory to each other when you put them in time sequence? You can't go from mission accomplished, we won, on May Day 2003 when boy George Bush dressed up like a pilot and appeared on a ship, a deck of an aircraft carrier. You can't go from there to the current story we have, which is we're trying to take Baghdad out. How did we get from winning the war to we can't hold Baghdad and nobody ever bothered to tell us that these people didn't have it together? They lie and distort. They've done it consistently to get us into the war, to keep us into the war, and now they're trying like hell to expand the war to a world war, and they're telling us it's a world war, and that we have to stand with Israel. So yesterday, Hillary Clinton was with 5,000 Jewish New York residents doing a big, you know, we need to stand with Israel to the max. People are quoting the butt-kissing Bill Clinton 2002 remark to the effect that if Israel's attacked, I'll get a rifle, and I'll get in the foxhole and die for Israel. And I'm thinking, Bill Clinton? My God, the draft dodger par excellence is saying that he'd be willing to die in a war for Israel? Well, hell, let him go, and let him send his daughter, and let him send his wife. For God's sake, send the whole Congress. Everybody who wants world war for Israel, man, it's easy to get to Israel in wartime if you want to fight for them. Go! But don't kill American citizens to drag us in, which is exactly what they mean to do. So right now, this war coverage, so-called, from Israel has been the exact same cycle of lies, misrepresentations, and delusions pumped into the American public. The only thing is, this time around, we're not going to have a three-year cycle to figure it out. We're probably going to have a three-week cycle to figure it out. You know, I deal in cyberdom, as you do you, Lenny, and I can tell you right now that there is a vicious cyber war going on right now where the dumber half is trying to say, God bless the USA and back Israel, as if this redneck BS were still going to work, and the more intelligent half is saying no world war for Israel. And that war in cyberdom is going the way it's going, badly, for the Bush League. So the Bush League and the Mossad fell back on the old standard motto of the Mossad, Lenny. You remember it?
Yep.
By deception.
By deception.
Go ahead.
By deception shall thou do war.
That's what it was. False flag, false friend. The classic stab in the back. And you know what? Folks can say, oh, it's so hard of you to talk that way, Cap May. How can you talk that way? And the answer is because I can use my eyes and my ears. I can't help it if it's true. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. It's their fault and their problem that they keep doing the same stuff. This is the USS Liberty all over again. And I can tell you my military contacts were the first ones to pick up on this. This morning, I've been getting calls from all over America from people who said, we got it right. You got it right, Captain May. Thank God for Ghost Truth. Thank God for the cloak. Just a few people, Lenny, a few pivotal people who have the power of this Internet communications revolution at their fingertips and know how to use it to get out real information to the American people who are owed real information by the Constitution, by the Declaration. We are owed the truth. And we have this bunch of psychopathic animals in power right now who think that we're to be set up like a bunch of sacrificial lambs. Well, you know, they even put a little bit of a devil sign in there to make sure that none of their own would get killed. Do you know what that was, Lenny?
What was that?
In order to arrange passage on this ship that was going to be killed, what they did was they put out an emergency, a number, to reach the State Department. And the State Department number was 888. Now, that in itself is a cultist triple number repetition.
Yeah.
But then what follows it was even better. 888-407-4747. Folks, if you have a pen, write it down. 407-4747 is Illuminatus code for 474747. A triple repetition. You throw the first zero out because zeros don't count to cultists. So it's 474747, and each 47 adds up to 11, so you get 11111 hidden in the 474747. Then you add the three ones together to take it to the next level, and you wind up with the classic Illuminatus number, 33. These guys, and they're using the media the way the Crips and the Bloods use the bathroom wall or the bus station. They splash their foul graffiti into our consciousness, into our TV sets, so that those of them who are in on the act will know how to coordinate and plan. So you can bet that anybody who in any way was connected to this treason, conspiracy against the U.S. public, anybody who was involved in it knew damn well not to get on board those ships and not to call in trying to arrange transport. It was a setup all the way. It's disgusting. I'm outraged. Well, there are all kinds of things going on. There were two explosions, petroleum ship transports exploded, one off the East Coast this morning, and I have unconfirmed reports of one off the West Coast. Lenny, I think those were going to be full-scale attacks and would have been had we not gotten the word out as effectively as we did. And those would have been blamed right along with the Orient Queen on Hezbollah attacks. I'm not sure that this crown princess sailing down there around Florida wasn't going to be attacked, too. It may have been just a signal ship, you know, a parallel, but it may have also been a target. So what was going to happen was that they were going to do the USS Liberty worldwide so that they could hustle the schmucks, and that means me and you and our kids, into a world war for Israel. That's the whole thing about this. This whole war has been about oil and Israel, and now that we've lost the possibility to get the oil, we'll just do it for Israel. That's what it all says to me, Lenny. What about you?
Sure seems it to me. I totally agree. It's all Israel.
Well, this morning I saw the U.S. ambassador to Lebanon trying to put on a smile. I bet you he doesn't feel like smiling. He'd be smiling if he could have killed 1,000 Americans and done his job. But he's out there smiling as he's trying to give some kind of an interview to the cameras. It looks like anything but, you know, disappointment. And this guy's name is Feltman. Now, I'm telling you, folks, I hate to start sounding this way, but anytime you hear or see names, you better ask whether or not the people are Jewish, because this seems to be very much a blood ethnic feud which is spilling into America. And until we realize that you need to know what kind of religious preference the people who are talking to you have, until you realize that, you're not going to know whether or not they have a subtle motive, an ulterior motive. We have been anesthetized, paralyzed, from asking this very simple question, which is, are you Jewish and do you have dual loyalties? Hell, half of them have dual citizenship, Lenny, and we know it. We hear consistently in the U.S. media that Israel is united behind this, all Israeli Jews are united behind this. Well, call me a bad man or call me a good intelligence officer, but I want to know if U.S. Jews are united behind this or not, especially the ones who are at the top of media, meaning just about everybody at the top of media, and at the top of the State Department. I find out that the gal who came on shortly afterwards, Kristen Silverberg, Assistant Secretary of State for International Organization Affairs, she's the one setting this whole thing up. Now, again, call me a bad guy, but Kristen Silverberg? Man, if I were an Arab American getting onto that ship and I found out that all these people who had arranged the transport just happened to be Jewish, you don't think I'd worry about it?
Yeah, I would.
These people are being kept, our American citizens. These are our brothers and sisters, y'all. When we bring them in and give them citizenship and they put in decades and raise their families here, they're as much citizens as these refugees from Eastern Europe. I don't rate a Jew higher than an Arab, but apparently that makes me distinct from the vast majority of the U.S. government and the entirety of the U.S. media. I guess they're saying would be some Semites are more equal than others. There's an Animal Farm Orwell quote for you, Lenny.
Yeah, exactly.
Some Semites are more equal than others. If you're going to be a good American, you have to learn not to be anti-Semitic. And not being anti-Semitic means you only hate Arab Semites. That's good. And you love Jewish Semites. That's good. Hate Arabs, love Jews. Both are Semites, but if you don't hate Arabs or you don't love Jews, you're anti-Semitic. Man, there's some twisted logic for you, Lenny.
Well, and of course, we're into these race wars at this time, and this is the tribal race wars are abounding and growing.
Right. It goes back millennia. It goes back forever. But the only people who are taught to understand that are the dumbass Christian fundamentalists who are told to understand that so that they'll realize what they have to do is help genocide the Arabs. Man, this is... If you look at what's happening in Lebanon, y'all, you're going to have a hard time convincing anybody, except somebody who's been watching too much Fox News, that this is anything but genocidal war. This is an attempt to destroy the infrastructure that supports civilized existence. I mean, these Israeli guys, they had a couple of soldiers captured, and what they've done is gone in and destroyed $2 billion worth of Lebanese infrastructure in a country that, Lenny, I bet you the whole country isn't worth $20 billion. They've knocked out the essential services necessary to preserve life. International health organizations are predicting that there will be massive refugeeism and widespread epidemics of things like cholera anytime now, because both in the Gaza Strip and in Lebanon, it's becoming impossible to maintain hygienic existence. We're not talking about whether or not they can have shish kebab and smoke hookahs, man. We're talking about whether or not they can find water to drink that isn't the same water they crap in. This is what our country is backing right now, and this bunch of Bush League Satanists tried to set it up so that we'd just do the same thing times 100 because they were going to kill 1,000 of us to get us to kill 10 million of them, if that's what it took. You hear these people on TV, any people say, my God, Captain May, you're really going off. Well, first, you're right. I'm pissed.
Right.
I defend American lives, and I defend the Constitution, and that's what every officer and enlisted man worth his salt was taught to do. It's what we swore to do. So, yes, I'm pissed. But if you want to hear worse, just turn on Michael Savage, and he gets broadcast to 20 million people every day, where he's saying these Arabs, these camel jocks, this 7th century barbarians, these sheep herders and sheep screwers, they just need to be bombed. We need to send in the strategic air force. We don't need to occupy them. We just need to destroy them. Man, right now, and then you get someone like Charles Krauthammer, another Jewish propagandist, just like Michael Savage, and his thing is to say the same stuff at a more refined intellectual level and make it seem like some kind of a cynical, wry joke. Bill Kristol, another of these Jewish propagandists at the top of our media chain, one of the members of the Project for a New American Century, where they set up the whole 911 idea to get us into this crap, he just published an article saying basically the U.S. has to go to war for Israel. They're our only friend. And this shit just sounds more and more like what it is. Shrill propaganda and hyperbole for people who are running out of time and ran out of ideas a long time ago. They only got one. Kill anybody you need to get the people you want to kill the people you hate.
Very, very, very good analysis once again, Captain May.
Well, it's sad, sad times, Lenny, and Lord knows if we both get through this, and given the work I've been doing, I have more and more doubts whether I will, but if we do get through this, folks, come meet me when it's over and hear the most charming person you ever met, because I have no hostility against any U.S. citizen. I am sworn to protect American lives, as are all decent officers, and I wish there were more standing up right now. Maybe enough of them can stand up at the right time and stop this crap. But for right now, it's impossible to avoid these harsh formulations of harsh truths, like the idea that right now the Israel lobby is controlling the media, is controlling the Congress, which is just trying to see how far up Israel's butt it can stick its head right now, is controlling Bush, who loves it, of course, because it gives Bush an excuse to kill people, and that's what turns him on. It's controlling everything. This whole thing is an Israel lobby matrix intended to use Christians to kill Muslims for Jews. I'm sorry that sounds real nasty, but that's the nasty reality of things, folks. And if we don't understand it, we're the only people in the world who don't. Why do you think we're so hated? Those are the ugly words that form the reason for the world's hatred of us. And before we start getting all high and mighty and thumping our chests and trying to act like John Wayne, maybe we ought to think about the fact that everything the world thought would be a disaster for us 3 years ago has turned into a disaster for us. Maybe they're just ahead of the curve and we're getting bad information, y'all. That's straight up from a redneck down in Texas.
Well, thanks very much, Captain May, for your update, and we look forward to more of it. I'm sure that as things start to get move faster and faster, it seems the news each day is getting faster and faster.
You can almost tell, Lenny, because you and I have been on the radio doing interviews about every other day for the last week, and the number of things that have happened, and folks, you're hearing about half of what Lenny and I talk about. There's stuff that would sound to be crazy even on the cloak, except that it's true, and we'll get to it some other time. The world is in a historic crisis right now. The great powers, Israel, the U.S., the U.K., this whole little Orwellian construct is trying to push us into World War III before they fall from power and are discovered for the whole 9-1-1 mass treason that they perpetuated on their citizens. 9-11 here, 7-7 in England, 7-11 in India. Man, now how's that for heartless crap? What do? They're going to bomb the Indians and do it on 7-11. Ha, ha, ha. Because Indians work at 7-11. I mean, you've got to understand, folks, these people are out to take control of the world. And now that the problem of taking control of the world seems to be very aggravated, they'll settle for just destroying half of it. Bombing into the Stone Age. That's why Israel went into this thing a week ago saying, we're going to knock them back 20 years. What did you think they meant when they said that? They were going to reduce literacy? They were going to reduce population, y'all. That's what we're involved with right now, and that's what's going to go on until more of the American public discovers more and more of the kind of bullshit that we're scraping off the truth here at the Cloak and Dagger. Well, Lenny, I got to tell you, it's been great working with you. We've found that a network, and certainly there is a ghost troop network, the Cloak and Dagger is part of it, the biggest part of it. There's a network of courageous, independent journalists who are working together. I have to tip my hat to Leon Smith, the publisher-editor of the Lone Star Iconoclast, who's been publishing our material. Lenny Bloom, who's been in the last five successful ghost troop missions to avert false flag attacks. The Cloak has been the central player every time. We're doing the work of millions, Lenny, and maybe one day millions will understand it. Until then, the important thing is that we do the work of millions to save millions. So, Lenny, it's been a great honor. We'll continue to march forward. If they get me, y'all get even for me. That's the only request I have for my services. This is Ghost Troop Captain May, speaking from the belly of the Bush Beast in Houston, Texas.
Listen, it's great having you here. It's a terrific lifeline for us at the Cloak, and we want to, certainly it's a job that I can't take credit for. There's people around the world who are supporting Cloak and Dagger, and I want to thank them all. They're much loved, and we're all in your prayers. So read it yourself instead of asking the government why, because that will cause the propaganda to die. Keep up the counter-propaganda, science, exploration, homework, Captain May. We'll see you again real soon.
Amen to all that, Lenny.